Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today is a special show because we'll be starting off with an interview with Chicago soul music artist Rinaldo Domino. So he is up in the studio right now, and he will be telling his story, and we will be playing his record, so you should definitely keep tuned. So first of all, thanks so much for coming down to the studio.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
So could you start off by talking about what part of Chicago you're from?
Basically the south side of Chicago. I grew up down around 49th Street, you know, back in the day. They used to call it the Valley, you know.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm.
How far west?
Around King Drive, actually.
Okay.
And that's where that was my beginnings, down in that area.
So near here, pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much.
So how did you first get involved with music?
You know, doing local talent shows, you know, that type of thing. And then once I was in high school. And
so what high school did you go to?
I started out at Limbloom, and I never did any shows over there. You know, we just, you know, that was just an educational thing, you know. And once I transferred from there to Calumet High School, I got involved in the talent shows. I was on the stage crew, so, you know, I guess I just got that feel for being on stage and, you know, wanting to perform it.
So
it that way.
Had you already been singing before that?
Well, you know, a little bit in choirs, you know, church, that type of thing, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So so you decided to become like a solo artist at that time?
Right.
Did you ever sing with a group or anything like that?
I never had the chops for singing with a group, I guess. You know, I never even tried to tell you the truth. I just started out singing by myself, you know, as a solo artist. And then a friend of mine, we hooked up when I was at Calumet High School, and we got a little band together, and the next thing you know, we started recording records. You know?
So what year was that when you, like, did the first talent shows, for example?
About 67, 66, 67, when I was, like, about a sophomore in high school.
Okay, and when you did the talent shows, did you have original material, or what type of
things
did you do?
No. We were doing covers, you know. I think we did some impression stuff, you know, because singing first 10, I used to sing some Curtis Mayfield. You do a little Smokey, you know, that kind of thing.
And then that was with the band you got together?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the band you got together?
The band at high school was the Magnificents.
Okay.
It was a group of, students that were there already. And some of those guys later on went with me when I went professional and became part of my professional traveling band.
Okay. And your real last name is Jones, right?
Right, Jones.
So how did you get the name Domino?
Well, it was just a joke. You know, we was trying to come up with nicknames, and I said, you know, I had this thing about, I just tell people I sang so good, it was as sweet as a 5-pound bag of sugar, you know, Domino sugar. So that's how the Domino name came about.
So even at those first talent shows, were you already Rinaldo Domino?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you did talent shows, and then you ended up cutting, it was almost like a demo, a local record. It was the original version of I'm Hip to Your Game with another song called I Love My Girl, and it was Rinaldo Domino and the Orientations on a label called Arnell.
Right.
So is that the first record you did?
Actually, it was, yeah. That's the first time I ever went into the studio, and it was just a little cramped up place, you know, that, and the soundboard wasn't really all that great, but we managed to use it as a dub to get us a interview to go into a real studio and do a real job, you know, get a deal with a record company.
Okay, yeah, and I was telling you about this earlier, but there's only two records on this label, and the other record is an instrumental by the Magnificents, and you were saying earlier that was just your band.
Well, they weren't really my band. That was the band that was at the Calumet High School that I had performed with at the talent show.
Okay.
And then when it came to where I was going to go in the studio to do a dub, you know, which is, you know, a record that you want to use as a presentation piece.
Okay.
We used them to go in with us to do it.
Okay. And there's no connection between them and Johnny Keyes' Magnificence, right?
No, it isn't.
Okay. And one other thing I wanted to ask is sort of what type of artist inspired you to sing as a solo artist at the talent show? Like, were there specific artists you were trying to emulate at the time?
Well, like I said, I used to sing some Smokey, some Eddie Kendricks.
Okay.
And, anybody that was a first tenor, because really, that's what I sang, that high first tenor voice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let me play the original demo version, that record that you cut of I'm Hip to Your Game.
The orientation type?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And then which will be less familiar to people than the later version of I'm Hip to Your Game that you did. But it's interesting as an artifact of your career as your very first record.
Okay.
And then we could talk some more. So this is Rinaldo Domino and the Orientations with I'm Hip to Your Game. Okay, that was just Rinaldo Domino in the Orientations with the original demo version of I'm Hip to Your Game. And that was, it was actually released on a 45 on a label called Arnell. So do you remember who that was that did that?
The Arnell part was a gentleman by the name of Jim Parnell, I think.
Okay.
And he and my manager at the time decided that they were going to cut this record and put it on their own label and try to do a Motown thing or something, I guess. You know?
Okay.
But you can listen to it and hear it. It wasn't the quality to be able to do that with.
So, first of all, who was your manager and how'd you get hooked up with him?
He was a personal friend of mine, approximately. He was a year older than me, William Sandy Johnson. You know, we were like in high school together at Calumet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he ended up having his own record label called Sincere.
Right. Later on he did his own little thing like that, yeah.
So he was a guy you knew from high school and he just became your manager.
Right.
How'd you get hooked up with that Parnell guy?
That was their connection. I really didn't know him that
well. So your manager hooked you up with him and...
They got together and did their little thing. They collaborated together on whatever. You know, I think he was kind of like doing some financial things for us.
Okay.
You know, as far as kind of the production, you know.
Was he older than you guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who are... So the record credits Rinaldo Domino and the Orientations. Who were the orientations?
The orientations were some sisters of some of the band. The band member, one of the, in fact, the drummer, his name was Melvin Johns. I think it was his sister and two friends of hers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you know if that's the only time? They never became a group or anything else?
I don't believe so. I think they just made the name up on the spot.
Okay.
You know, just to put on the label.
So, and then you never sang with them again. They were just on
no,
the record.
No, I didn't write.
So then, and that was recorded. How old were you when that record was recorded?
I had to have been about 17.
So you were still in high school at the
yeah.
time?
Mm-hmm.
And then you said you eventually used it to get a record deal with Smash Mercury Records. Is that right?
Right, right.
So how did that happen?
Well, we took the demo to Johnny Pate at ABC Paramount.
Okay.
And I guess it's just like going to get a job or something. I guess they didn't have any openings for any new artists, so he referred us to Mercury. You know, he told he had some kind of hookup at Mercury, and next thing you know, they signed me with Mercury, and he was my producer.
Johnny Pate was?
Yeah.
Okay. And so. Well, you recorded for two divisions of Mercury. One of them was Blue Rock, and one of them was Smash.
Smash. Mm-hmm.
So the record that came out on Blue Rock was called Say the Word.
Yeah.
Was that the first one, or
for Blue Rock?
Yeah. Well, that one came out on Blue Rock. Was that because the first record that came out on Smash was I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love? Do you
right.
remember which one came out first?
I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love came out before Say the Word.
Okay, that must have been the last Mercury record.
Yes,
then.
Say the Word came out somewhere around 70, I believe.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love was your first hit in Chicago, right?
Right, right.
And so were you still in high school when it came out?
Yeah, because mm-hmm, I was still in high school until 68, yeah.
Okay, and so this record came out around 68?
Yes.
And do you remember, did it get a lot of play in Chicago?
I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we had the backing of Herb Kent, the cool gent. He's at WVON. And,
okay.
He kind of busted it open for us, But it was still just a locally successful record. It didn't go national, though.
Okay. Well, I'll play the record and we could talk some more.
Okay.
This is Ronaldo Domino with his first record on Smash Records, which is a division of Mercury. This is called I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love.
Something tells me that it won't be long now. I don't know why it took this long enough.
Okay, that was just Ronaldo Domino with I Am Getting Nearer to Your Love, his first hit record in Chicago on Smash Records, a division of Mercury Records. And it came out around 1968. And if you're just tuning in, Ronaldo is up in the studio now, and we're talking about his recording career and his records. So when that record came out and it became a hit, did you start doing bigger shows?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We started going on little tours and things like that to Milwaukee, you know, out to, well, that's not really a tour, but it was a short trip to Milwaukee. We did the Coliseum down in Chicago, and we did stuff in Gary. I mean, we did our first real big show with the Sam and Dave Review.
Okay.
The Memorial. I think it was called Memorial Stadium, something like that, in Gary, Indiana. You know.
Okay. Do you remember some of the other acts you did shows with around that time, like late 60s?
We did shows with the Artistics. In fact, we went on the road with them, the Artistic, Marshall and the Shine Lights, Johnny Williams, Barbara Acklin.
Okay.
You know, Gene Chandler.
So you did a lot with a lot of the Brunswick acts.
Right, right.
Your second record on Mercury also got some play. It was A Hit to Your Game.
Okay.
The more produced version of it.
Right. Okay. that, as you want to call that, in the closet type, that first record you played.
Okay. And one thing that's interesting is another person whose name is on your records is Richard Pegee.
Yeah, Richard Pegee played a big part in a lot of production of the things that I did. Probably half of them.
And you said actually he was one of the people singing on I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love?
Right, it was him, his wife, a fellow by the name of Lamont Boston.
Okay, and I know him and Lamont Boston were in a group called the Norvell together
right.
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Was his wife Pat James at the time?
Right, I think that's her. I know her name was Pat. That's probably who it was, yeah.
Okay, so they... So he not only produced it, but him and his buddy sang backup on a lot of your records.
Yep, if it was background singing in it, they did it.
Okay. So how did you get connected with Pegee?
Through Sandy. You know, William Sandy Johnson hooked up with him.
Okay.
You know. Mm-hmm.
And he ended up like writing and producing a lot of your records.
Right. Yeah. Because he had the know-how. You know, he had a whole lot more studio moxie than we had at the time. You know, we were still just 19, 20 years old. You know, so we didn't know a whole lot about going in the studio on our own. See, Richie hooked up with us when we left Mercury.
Okay.
Because you know, while we were at Mercury, we were under under Johnny Pate's thing. You know.
But that record I just played was on Mercury, and he was on it too, though, right?
I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love. Yeah, he came in because that was his song. He wrote that song.
Okay, you're just saying he played a bigger part with your record
later on, right?
Once
as far as on the part of production, yeah.
Because Johnny Pate was the original producer, and
right,
and so he was a bigger part. He was the main producer later,
right? Exactly.
So they released Mercury Records released I'm Hip to Your Game on Smash Records. Mm-hmm. And I think they released one more record on Blue Rock Records, which was another division of Mercury called Say the Word.
Right, yeah.
Do you have any idea why they switched the label on you?
No, I really don't. I wouldn't know at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you had a contract with Mercury.
Mercury, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it was just subsidiary, so I guess they, you know, one label is as good as the other.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm Hip to Your Game, did that get play in Chicago?
Sure, yeah, it did.
Okay, and then what about Say the Word?
Say the Word was pretty nice, pretty good. I think Say the Word was one of the more popular ones.
Okay.
Actually. Mm-hmm.
Do you know if any of those Mercury records got any national play or even play in other cities?
Only Midwest.
Okay.
Only Midwest. Because, see, that was the boundaries of where we traveled a lot. We just traveled, you know, when I went to somewhere to do a show on my own with just me and my band by myself, it was either to Milwaukee or somewhere in Indiana, you know.
Okay.
You know, just local. Maybe we went to Iowa a couple of times, you know, that kind of thing.
And where did you play in Iowa?
Job Corps.
Okay.
Yeah.
What city was that?
Davenport, I think it was Davenport.
Okay. So, you ended up cutting, I guess, three records, like five or six songs on Mercury, and then you ended up going to Twinight Records.
Right.
So how did that happen?
Basically, we weren't getting the promotion, I guess, you know, that we wanted to out of Mercury Records at that time. You know, because at that time it was so many big artists out cutting records and everything. It was hard to get airplay, you know. So I think my manager just asked to be let out the contract, you know.
Okay, William Sandy Johnson.
Yes.
And then he took you to Twinight Records at the time?
Right. We met the guys that headed up that label because they were promotional men in Chicago at the radio station, Howard Bednor and Pete Wright.
Okay.
And so they let us know they were starting a label, and then the label, you know, had Seal Johnson and some other Chicago local artists on it, and we went on with that label.
Okay, and Richard Peggy actually became your producer at that label, is that right?
Yeah.
So the first record you did was one of your biggest hits. It was Not Too Cool to Cry.
Yeah.
And which I'll play right now, and then we could talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So this is Ronaldo Domino with the first record he released on the Twinight label. Do you remember what year this came out?
Not Too Cool to Cry. Had to be about 71.
Okay, well, this is Not Too Cool to Cry. Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just Ronaldo Domino with his hit Not Too Cool to Cry, which got released, I think you were saying around 1971, on Twinight Records in Chicago. And that was probably one of your biggest hits too, right?
Right, it definitely was. Yeah.
And you were telling me off the mic about the band that was playing on the record?
That was the band called the South Shore Commission that I think Richard McGee had brought them in.
Okay, yeah, they worked with him a lot
of
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the same people were singing backup on the record too.
Yeah.
And you actually wrote that song?
Yeah, I wrote that along with a guitar player named Nate Evans. I mean, that's not Nate, Nate Taylor.
And Nate Taylor was actually one of the original band members.
The Magnificence. Yeah.
Okay, so you knew him back from high school.
Right.
And he worked with you. Did he tour with you, too, when you toured?
Sure, he did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, at that time, were you trying to do music full-time?
I was doing it full-time because I was fresh out of high school, and that was my job.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what types of places were you playing at the time?
Well, we did a tour. We went all the way to Vegas with a West Side group called the Kittens.
Okay.
We went on the road.
Yeah, I interviewed them too, actually.
Yeah, we went on the road with them and did the Las Vegas thing and Los Angeles. You know, it was a circuit tour type thing. You know.
Okay.
Came back through Memphis and St. Louis. You know.
The Kittens, they were. Did you know Ruth Moore? They were managed by Ruth Moore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she didn't manage you, right?
No.
It was still
no.
William Sandy Johnson.
Right. She just arranged for me to be on that tour, and we used my band on the tour also.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Did your band have a name back then, or was
it
just
was called the Dots?
Okay. when did you form the Dots? Was it specifically to tour with?
Well, you know, back in those days, everybody had to have a band, and so you know, those were the guys that came with me from Magnificence. You know, some about three or four of them. Then we picked up some other guys that were, you know, musicians from other areas, and with, you know, it sounded real simple. Back, it sounded like a real simple name, so we just said Dots. You know, Ronaldo, Domino, and the Dots. You know.
Okay. Okay. This is stupid, but I didn't get that they were the dots
right.
on the dominoes.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So the flip of that record was a track called Nevermore, and you were telling me that was actually just the backing track reused.
That record was originally done by Little Ben and Cheers.
Okay.
And Richard McGee had produced that on them and wrote it, and we just brought the track in the studio, and I just sang over it, actually.
Okay. So do you know if you're actually singing over the Cheers also as the backing group on that, probably? Because it's still got backing voices on it.
Right. It is. It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be the Cheers, come to think of it, yeah.
Okay. And then the follow-up record that you did on Twinight Records was a kind of funkier sound called Let Me Come Within.
Right, that was the first up-tempo record that we did. I wrote that one along with the same guitar player, Nate Taylor. And I did most arrangements on it, like the horns and stuff like that. And it was one of the ones that I personally liked the best because, you know, it was funky and had a good beat and everything to it, you know.
Yeah, you switched up the style and went
right.
kind of James Brown
right.
instead of Smokey.
Yeah, I wasn't doing ballads all the time. You know, I had been doing ballads all the time up until then.
Okay, so let me play Let Me Come Within and we can talk some more. So this is Ronaldo Domino with Let Me Come Within.
I want to love and feel the pleasure. Mm, I
Okay, that was just Ronaldo Domino with a very funky James Brown type record called Let Me Come Within. And that was probably released, what, around 1971 also?
Yeah, about the same time. Yeah, about 71, yeah.
Okay, and one thing that's interesting, you may not know this, that record actually became really collectible with funk collectors in the last few, like last 5-6 years or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, so people really like that record.
I'm glad to hear that. I liked it.
Like the horns are real raw sounding on it, and
right. You know, yeah. My influence. I was listening to a lot of Chicago back then.
Okay.
And I wanted that da 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 da. You know, I just throw it in there. You know.
So you're saying you were actually influenced by the band Chicago?
Yeah,
on that?
I used to listen to all that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And who actually is a band playing on that record?
That's the Dots.
Okay, so it was your band.
My band. Uh-huh.
Okay. And did you do that show live a lot?
That song?
Yeah, that song live a lot.
Yeah, definitely. We used to open with it a lot of times and mix it in, you know, or close with it, you know.
Okay. And did you get a good response off of that that song?
Right, because you get your chance to move around and dance on the stage and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so did you have, a good stage show?
I could think I did, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it was mainly like just, you didn't have like a review, it was mainly you and your band.
It was just
much.
Me and the band. The band would do a little choreography sometimes, you know, certain songs, you know.
And what were some of the bigger shows that you did? You already mentioned going to Vegas with the Kittens. Mm-hmm. What were some of the other bigger acts that you had done shows with?
I did stuff at the, what was the name of that club? On 55th and State Street. I've done some things like Brooke Benton.
Okay.
Who else came through there? It's hard to think back and remember. A lot of groups that were, like I said, that came out of Brunswick. I've worked mostly with them a lot, you know.
Okay.
I did a show once a long time ago with James Brown, you know, but, you know, I was one of the first ones on the show and off the stage.
Where do you remember where that was?
That was in Gary, Indiana.
Somebody told me once that, someone actually called on my show once and told me they had seen you do a show with the Jackson 5. Did you ever do a show with the Jackson 5?
Right, we did a show with the Jackson 5 at the Met Theater, which was across the street from the Regal. At that time, that was the year the Regal shut down. And so they moved it across the street to the Met. It was myself, the Jackson 5, the Delphonics, and Marshall and the Shylocks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember around when that happened?
That was 69.
So it was like 69. When it was before the Jackson 5 were on Motown even?
Right. They were still doing that I'm a Big Boy Now song.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but you were never like in a talent show with them or anything like that?
No.
How long did you tour with your band? Like, how long did that go on for?
Maybe about 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the last record that was released on Twinight Records was I'm a Good Man and You Need to Be Loved On, and that didn't really get played, I don't think.
You need to be Loved On that was never released.
I have it on a 45.
You do?
It's the third. It's the third Twinight 45.
I know. Well, they may have pressed it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't really get promoted or anything.
Right. They probably have pressed it, but I never remember it being distributed to stations.
Okay. Yeah. Like the only two that got played were the on Twinet, where they Let Me Come Within and the Not Too Cool to Try.
Right.
But they did press it up.
Oh. Okay.
After that, why did you leave music, or why did you leave Twinet Records first of all?
Same reasons. We weren't getting the promotion that was we were expecting. I was getting a little older at the time. I had gotten married.
Okay.
You know, and so children started being born. And it was time to have to come off the road and get some other kind of employment going.
Okay, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
So, but you definitely released a lot of good music. Let me play an unreleased record that you cut on for Twinight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this recently came out on that Twinight Lunar Rotation CD with, there's four of your songs on those on that CD.
Okay.
This song is called 2 Years, 4 Days.
Which was a song we wrote about being drafted into the Army.
Yeah, it's about it's about coming back from Vietnam, right?
Right.
So, but you actually remember recording this song at Twinight Records?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, well, let me play the record and we can talk more about it.
Okay.
So this is previously unreleased until recent CD of Ronaldo Domino. This track is called 2 Years, 4 Days. Okay, that was just Ronaldo Domino with an unreleased record that they did for Twinight Records called 2 Years, 4 Days, and it was about coming back from Vietnam, which obviously was a topical.
Yeah.
So, and then the other, you actually cut another unreleased record there called I'll Get You Back.
Right.
And did you do any more material there that was never released? Or just those two songs?
Those are the last two that we did. And we didn't release them, you know, because we thought they had some production imperfections, you know. So we didn't actually press for it to be released.
Okay. So so you talked about previously how you left Twinight Records because you felt that they weren't getting you enough promotion at the time and pushing your records. So did you try to find another record label?
We talked with some labels. We talked with Curtis Mayfield's label. We talked with Jerry Butler had a label called The Fountain.
Okay.
You know, we talked with them, but nothing ever transpired out of it, you know.
Okay, so you couldn't get a deal after Twinight. And then did you decide to leave music after that, or what did you do?
Pretty much. My personal management and everything kind of, like, fell apart, you know, because the guy that, like I said, my manager at the time was kind of spreading himself thin, trying to go with other acts and things like that. And
you're talking about William Sandy Johnson?
Right.
Yeah, he had LaShawn Collins on his label, and he had a couple other artists.
Yeah. He was trying to become Gordy too soon.
Okay.
You know, but I just took a different direction, that's all.
Okay, so you got a non-music career after that.
Right.
And so you've never done any music stuff since 71, 72?
Just my own personal writing and stuff that I do in my own personal studio at home.
So you're still doing that today?
Yeah, I'm still writing, yeah.
Do you ever expect to release anything or write for other people?
I do. I expect to see what it looks like putting something on the internet, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely, like, let me know when it comes out. I'll tell people about it.
Without a doubt.
Okay, well, first of all, thanks so much for coming down and telling your story. It was an interesting story.
Thanks for having me.
And do you have any last words for the radio audience?
Hey, just... don't give up. Don't just look out. I'm gonna have something else coming out.
Okay, well, definitely keep looking out for that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So this last record I'm gonna play is the more polished version that was released of "I'm Hip to Your Game."